Solomon, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, has given us three books in the canon of Scripture. We might think of the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs, then also the book of Ecclesiastes, and this book of Proverbs from which we've just been reading. We find in the opening chapter of this book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and the first verse, these words: "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Solomon was a king, and he was also the son of a king. We know that God gave to Solomon great wisdom, great knowledge, and great understanding. And in this book of Proverbs, we have divine instruction that is set before us in short sentences, and we refer to them as Proverbs. All of these Proverbs are wise. All of them are good, because they are indeed the Word of God. They're the words of a greater than Solomon, and they're written for our learning. And being written for our learning, we need to ensure that they are written upon our hearts, and the teaching and the instruction from them is written upon our hearts. I emphasize our hearts. Proverbs 3 and verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And we must have a regard continually for God's commandments or God's precepts. We want to experience the guidance that they give in our lives as we seek to live for the Lord and serve Him. But we must also, as well as having regard to the commandments or the precepts, we must also have regard to the promises. And the promises of God are exceeding great and precious, and they're all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And it's one promise, one such promise, that I want to draw your attention to for just a little time this evening. It's found here in this third chapter of Proverbs, at the very end of verse 6. And the words are these: "He shall direct thy paths." This is a wonderful promise. It's a great promise. It's a promise that we do well to recall and remember, and it's a promise that we should seek to have fulfilled, and we should endeavor to have the experience of its fulfillment in our lives, having the Lord direct our paths. Because the one who will direct us as children in the family of God is none other than our Heavenly Father. And just as a good father here on earth would seek to give guidance and direction to his children, so our Heavenly Father would instruct us and teach us and direct us in the way that we should go. So for a few moments then, we're going to consider this promise that gives fatherly guidance to us. And as we do that, I want you to think with me of just three simple truths. They're found here in the context. It's always good when you have a promise to note the context in which you find it. And so it will profit our hearts, I trust, as we see the context here in which this promise in verse 6 is found: "He shall direct thy paths." Let's just read verses 5 and 6 again. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So as we look at the context here, first thing I draw your attention to is a practice. A practice. It's there at the beginning of verse 5. Trust in the Lord. That's something that we should practice. Practice that we should all, as the people of God, be engaged in. We should be trusting in the Lord. You might say, well, what does that really mean in practical terms? What is it to trust? What is it to trust in the Lord? I think, put very simply, it's to have just a childlike confidence. A childlike confidence. A childlike confidence in our Heavenly Father. A childlike confidence in our Heavenly Father's love. A confidence in His wisdom. A confidence in His faithfulness. Because He is worthy of our trust. And we could put it even more firmly than that. He, and He alone, is worthy of our absolute trust. And why? Because His love is infinite love. His wisdom is infinite wisdom. And He who has infinite love and wisdom delights to guide His children and direct their paths. But you'll notice those words are followed here in verse 5 with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What's the heart? It's not the physical hearts being referred to here. The heart is the very seat of our being. It's really the center of what makes you, you. And it's the center of what makes me, me. And it's true to say that whatever has got your heart has you. What the heart is, the person is. The heart can only really, as the heart of a believer, have one supreme object of allegiance. I say one supreme object of allegiance because here in this practice that we're looking at the beginning of verse 5, it's trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That little word all is, it's crucial. It's important. We're to trust Him with all our heart. Trust Him that His ways are good with all our heart. Trust Him that His way is perfect with all our heart. Trust Him with all our heart that His way is acceptable. So what then is the way to comply with this precept, this commandment, this practice that will lead to the fulfillment of the promise that we're looking at? He shall direct thy paths. Can I put it like this to you? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's implying several things. It's implying a looking to the Lord, trusting Him with all our heart. It's implying a patient waiting upon the Lord, trusting Him with all our heart. It implies more. It implies a peaceful resting in the Lord, trusting Him with all our heart. And there's even more, I feel. There has to be a present walking with the Lord if we are trusting Him with all our heart. To think for just a moment of this promise and to broaden it just a little, thinking of the promises as a whole, the promises of God. And there are so many of God's promises that are connected and linked with trusting. We can find that they're associated with remarkable deliverances. For example, it's recorded of the children of Israel that the Lord delivered their enemies into their hand in 1 Chronicles 5:20, for they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them. And here's the reason. Because they put their trust in Him. Again, we read of God's message sent by the prophet Jeremiah to Ebed-Melech. Jeremiah 39, I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword. And what's the reason? Because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Think for a moment of the experience of God's people that confirms to us the blessedness of trusting in the Lord. What does the psalmist say? Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. How good it is to experience the help of the Lord and be able to say, the Lord really helped me. I was so conscious of the Lord's help. The one who is my strength and my shield, my heart is trusting in him, and I have known his help. Or again, the psalmist in Psalm 56, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. There won't be the fear of man that casts a snare if we're trusting him with all of the heart. Or the psalmist again in Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Think again, if you will, of the promises connected with trusting. They're so encouraging. They are so rich, and they prove such a blessing to our own hearts. That familiar verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. The psalmist again in Psalm 34, none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. Before the sons of men thou shalt hide them in the secret of my presence. What's the Lord saying really here to us? He's saying, trust me. Trust me with all your heart, because I'm really the only one who can guide your present steps. You can't really guide your own steps, but the Lord is saying to us each one, I can guide you. I can guide your footsteps. I can untangle and unravel that web in which you have become ensnared. I can guide you through all of the perplexities that you're facing, and maybe some of you are facing personal perplexities, maybe some in your family. I don't know. Who is the only one that can really guide? It is the Lord himself, and he's saying, oh, but trust me with all your heart. That's the practice. Trust with all the heart. But then we must look at the second one here. And while we have thought of the practice, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, here in verse 5, you'll notice the next one, the latter part of the fifth verse, it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here we have got a prohibition, something that the Lord says we're not to do. We're not to lean to our own understanding. What's meant by the word understanding is very simply, it's insight or perception. And we're not to lean to our own insight or our own perception. What does that then really mean? Not lean to your own understanding. It's a reference to the understanding that has its origin in human thought. We're not to lean. If I were to lean upon the pulpit here, I would be leaning upon it for support. We're not to be leaning on our own understanding and thinking that that's going to support us. It's not going to give us good support at all. So the prohibition is clear. Lean not to your own understanding. Express it this way. Refuse all leaning upon just natural reasoning as a basis for being guided in the way. And sometimes we're prone to do that in many things in life. We're prone to lean to our own thoughts, our own reasoning, our own understanding. But you might say, well, preacher, are you saying we just shouldn't really think at all? We should just abandon it all? We should just jettison thinking? No. No, I'm not saying that. Keep to the text and lean not onto thine own understanding. What's this a call to do? It's a call or a command to recognize something. Recognize what? To recognize the inadequacy and the limitation of the human mind. Can we see that as we go back for a moment to the Garden of Eden? Remember that our mind, our human mind, is a created faculty. In the Garden of Eden, what did God intend for Adam's mind? How was Adam to learn? How was he to know what God wanted him to do? Was he to just go in the light of his own understanding? The light of his own understanding wasn't adequate to know the will of God. That's why we read in the book of beginnings, book of Genesis, such words as these in Genesis 1:28, and God said unto them, God said unto them. I'm speaking now before our first parents fell into sin. But God still came and spoke unto them, to those who were made in his image, with a faculty of understanding which he had created and given to them. God still spoke to them to give them guidance, to give them direction as to what they should do. And though before they fell, they were sinless, and they had an understanding then that wasn't even darkened or blotted by sin, yet that understanding was not adequate in itself for them to know what God would have them do. They could not lean to their own understanding. We think of Genesis 2. You remember when God spoke to Adam and he said those familiar words that probably we all know well, of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Isn't it true to say that Adam wouldn't have understood the significance of that tree left to his own understanding? God had to reveal it to him. You see, our understanding, that created faculty, it's not going to function properly apart from the Lord. That's the lesson we can draw here, isn't it? Apart from the Lord. We are but creatures made in the image of God, yes, but we're creatures still with a creature's mind. And our mind is certainly not omniscient like the mind of God. So therefore, we have the prohibition, lean not unto thine own understanding. And sometimes we're prone to do just that. And yet I hope we can see clearly from the Word of God that that's insufficient, it's inadequate. It has got so many limitations. And we do need the Lord to reveal to us the way that we should go. For the promise is, he shall direct thy paths. That's the promise. It's possible to experience the Lord directing and guiding, isn't it? I'm thinking of Peter. You remember the occasion when the Savior, and we read of it here in Matthew 16, and I'll just read the verses from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then you remember there were those, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some were saying that you're Elias, others that you're Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets. But then the Savior presses it home to the hearts of his disciples in verse 15, and he says, "But whom say ye that I am?" And it's Simon Peter, so often the spokesman for the others. It's Simon Peter who answered verse 16 and said, and what did he say? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a confession as to the person and the identity of the Lord Jesus. "Thou art the Christ, the anointed one of God, the sent one of God. Indeed, the promised Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then the Savior in verse 17 said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Listen to these words. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He was getting some guidance, wasn't he? He wasn't leaning to his own understanding. That's clear from those words. He was being guided, and that's what the Savior's saying. "It's been revealed to you by my Father which is in heaven." But then, notice that the very same Peter, when you read on down that 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and you read of how that the Savior begins to tell of how he must suffer. Verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." It's Peter who speaks up again. And this time, what does he say? Verse 22, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." What was Peter doing then? He was leaning to his own understanding. And then the Savior said those words, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You see, Peter was reasoning in his own mind, and he was really following carnal wisdom here. Carnal wisdom, fleshly wisdom. "Lord, you don't go there. You don't go to the cross. That can't happen to you." Peter was leaning to his own understanding. Peter was really saying, "Even though you are the Messiah," and he had made that tremendous confession that we have just noted, "you don't need to go to the cross." Leaning to his own understanding. How we need to pray that the Lord will give to us understanding. Because it's linked to the fulfilling of the promise. "He shall direct thy paths." He shall direct thy paths. We cannot lean to our own counsel. You remember it was said of Job, Job 18, his own counsel cast him down. Recall the words that we read of in the minor prophet Hosea, Hosea 10. "Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel." So here's the prohibition. So we've seen something of the practice. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. because the promise is, he shall direct thy paths. We've noted just now the prohibition, lean not unto thine own understanding. Then we come to the third one. And it's there at the beginning of verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What does that really mean? Well, the word acknowledge, it simply means to know or to be aware, and it's translated that way in some other places in Scripture. But if we are going to do what it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, it means there's got to be a submission on our part, a submission to the Lord's authority, submitting to him, because he is the one who is over us, really. He is the one who has promised to guide us. So we need to be aware, we need to be acknowledging him in all that's taking place, even in the working out of his providence. And there are events in God's providence that we just don't understand. And we begin to reason almost in our minds, I can't figure that out. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did it happen when it happened? And so it can go on in our minds. But we're to be in submission to him. And that means that if we're going to be in submission to him, we cannot be indifferent to his word. It's impossible to say that we're submitting to the Lord, but we're completely indifferent to his word. Because if we are submitting to him, then we see that we cannot put a dividing line between the Lord and his own word. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You see, they're inseparably linked, the Lord and his word. In all thy ways, that's suggesting to us, this has to be the pattern of life, the pattern of our lives, in all our ways, all of them. You remember the psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me. Even in the seemingly small and inconsequential things, the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. Don't forget the promise. His promise is that he shall direct thy paths. But you'll notice that he doesn't delegate that to any of the angels. He does it himself. He shall direct thy paths. Because the Lord is personally involved in the ways of his children. Your individual path will be directed by him. If you're in a saving relationship with God in Christ, then there is that personal relationship. And this guidance, the fulfilling of this promise, he shall direct thy paths, is going to occur as you are in intimate fellowship and contact with him. He keeps his promise. We can be assured of that, can't we? Sometimes we have individuals who might promise us something and it's never fulfilled, but oh no, that's not the Lord. And he's the one here who's given us this promise. He'll not break it. He shall direct thy paths. You remember what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 5? Make thy way straight before my face. That was really a request, a prayer. Make thy way straight, or make thy way plain before my face. That's what the word translated straight really means. It's plain. But you say, what's a plain way? What's a straight way? Well, it's a way that conforms to his word. That's how you'll know. A straight way, a plain way. Wouldn't we expect the Lord to lead us in the way that's in accordance with his word? What about the crooked way? What about the crooked path? It's a way and it's a path that's not in conformity to his word. And God will always guide us and direct us to the right end by means of the right way. And the right end and the right way will always be in conformity to his word. He'll guide us in the right way in all the affairs of life. In all of them. Perhaps you noticed it. The promise is, he shall direct thy path. No. It's plural. He shall direct thy paths. All of them. All of them. The promise will hold good. And his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Isn't it wonderful to experience the fulfilling of this promise, he shall direct thy paths? We were thinking just a few moments ago of Peter. Let's, as we conclude the message, think for a few moments about Paul, the great preacher, the great evangelist, the great missionary. Think of what he penned when he was writing to the Christians at Rome. Romans chapter 1. Let me draw your attention to just a few of the verses. And here in Romans 1, it's evident that Paul wanted to get to a certain place. You say, preacher, that sounds familiar, in the sense that maybe you say, well, I've wanted to get to certain places too. But just notice what we read here in Romans 1, verse 10. Well, we'll go to verse 9 just for the context. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He's wanting them to know. He's remembering them in prayer. He's praying for them. Verse 10, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Oh yes, he wanted to come unto them. But he didn't want to be going to them outside the will of God. And so here he's saying, I've made request. I've been praying about this. That I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And he says the reason in verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. But I want you to just think through some further verses here. Let's pick up again. Verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you. I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered. That's what the meaning is. But was let or hindered hitherto. And I wanted to come, and I purposed to come, that I might have some fruit among you, also even as among other Gentiles. What's he saying there? Remember what he had said earlier in the earlier verse? He was praying that he would have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto them. And here we have just been reading that, oh, I want you to know that I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered or let hitherto. What he's saying is that my way was hedged up by some of God's providences. There was a wise and a kind providence preventing me coming. And I only wanted to come if I could be sure that it was in the will of God. And isn't that in keeping with the promise that we're looking at? He shall direct thy paths. He wasn't just handing over to blind fate, was he? Paul wasn't arguing and saying, oh, well, you know, whatever will be, so I don't really need to pray. No, that's not right. That's not scriptural. He was praying. He was seeking the Lord. And he was wanting to be and counted it to have a privileged part in the final outcome. And he only wanted to have the Lord direct him that he would go in his way. In Psalm 107, and it's the last verse I quote to you, he led me forth by the right way. He led me forth by the right way. And the right way is always the way that the Lord directs and guides in, isn't it? So here's the promise. And it's linked and it's connected with those three things. Those three things. We have the practice, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We have the prohibition, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And we have that principle, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And they're all linked in with the promise, and he shall direct thy paths. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts tonight as we give ourselves now to prayer, to seeking him for the many requests that you will bring to the throne of grace.